The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it, and there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" Jesus said to them, "Isaiah prophesies rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, evil, slander, pride, folly. All these things come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's Gospel reading ends with a list of grievances against us humans by Christ. Licentiousness, wickedness, avarice, mean intentions, idolatry, you name it, we're guilty of it according to Christ. And then we end by saying the Gospel of the Lord, the good news of Jesus. And we respond by saying, "Thanks be to God." But is it good news? Is it good news that inside of you is wickedness, avarice, licentiousness, and the list goes on and on? Is that good news? I had a friend in school that instead of calling me a Lutheran, he called me a loserin. He said I was a loser because I'm always talking about sin. That we're evil, that we're wicked, etc., etc. Look at today's worship service. We all come here on a beautiful, sunny Sunday morning. The flowers are in bloom. There's no wind. The air is beautiful. We gather with our friends and family. And how do we start today's worship? "Lord, we have deceived you. We have not done what you've called us to do. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done, and even those things we have left undone. We are sinners." That's how we start today. Marriage. A bride and groom gather here. Families are bursting with happiness. Music is playing. Flowers adorn the pews. Everyone is dressed up. It's a blessed time. And how do I start the service as a pastor? Do I say, "This is a great and holy moment"? No. Do I say, "Wow, thanks be to God, this is great"? No. I say, because of the human age-old rebellion and sin, the marriage feast and the marriage blessing can become a burden. As Lutherans, as Christians, we start in a place of sin. We start at the cross. And here is where we find the good news. We are not perfect. Those thoughts that you have in your head, those things that you think about the person who cut you off, or cheated you in a business deal, or gossiped about you, those thoughts, those ideas, the inerrant word that you let slip out in polite conversation from time to time. You are not alone. This is the human condition. It is one of sinfulness. And there's two ways we can approach this. One, we can own up to it. We can gather as we do here and say, yes, we are in bondage to sin. Yes, we cannot free ourselves. Yes, we are not our own saviors. Yes, we need Jesus. Or option two, we can live lives of deceit. We can make our actions and our words and our friendships and the books we read appear holy. That we can find holiness outside of ourselves in the world. If we read the right books, listen to the right music, say the right words, we are holy. People will think good of us. People will speak well of us. And thusly, God will think well of us. This is the Pharisees in today's reading. They don't lack faith in God. They don't lack a knowledge of God. In fact, they're very sincere. But they've turned things upside down. Christ says to them, you have fallen for the tradition of the elders. You replace the word of God with external things of the world. How to properly wash your hands. What kind of cookware to use in the kitchen. Who to talk to. Who to associate with. What to buy. What to say. Etc., etc., etc. And Christ says to them, this is not the word of God. You created all this. So that you can seem holy. So that you can go to bed tonight feeling good about yourself. Following the laws of the Pharisees was not easy work. It's not like these guys took the easy way out. Not at all. They had to wash properly. They had to eat properly. They had to conduct themselves properly. They had a myriad of laws and rules and codes to follow. No. They did this because they believed it was right. It was passed down to them. Father to son, mother to daughter. Here is how we eat. Here is how we wash our hands. Here is the kind of clothes we wear. Here is how we cut our hair. Here is how we trim our beards, etc., etc. And they propagate this over time. And this gets replaced for true holiness. For true godliness. And Christ comes and turns things upside down. To them, Christ says, it's not the things out in the world that defile you. You have no excuse. It's not the food you eat. It's not the music you listen to. It's not the books you read. The friends you have. If not, there's weeds in your grass or not. These things don't defile you. What defiles comes from within. Christ says, no excuses. You cannot blame your sin on someone else. Someone else does not make you sin. Something else does not make you sin. Sin, Christ says, comes from within. Original sin, the fall of humanity, whatever you want to call it, Christ seems to think that there's a part of us that is in bondage to sin. There's a part of us that doesn't always choose the right. A part of us that will often turn away from our neighbor in callousness or in uncaring feelings. A part of us that is not charitable. A part of us that wants to look out for number one. A part of us that often struggles and turns away from God. Christ says, that's within us. And we have to be on guard of that. That's what we need to be on guard about. You don't need to be on guard about the books on the shelf. You don't need to be on guard about whether you eat meat on Fridays or not. You don't need to be on guard if someone sits in your pew on Sunday morning. You need to be on guard about what's coming out of you. Look in, and then look out. But don't blame others around you. Don't blame those lazy bums over there, those drug addicts over here, those noisy kids over there, that dumb boss at work, etc., etc. Because in doing so, we can feel pretty smug. We are simply victims of life. It's not our fault we treat people like that. They deserve it. It's not our fault we think these things about so-and-so. They deserve it. It's not our fault we don't help these people. They deserve it. And we morally cleanse ourselves in the process. The question is, do we ever meet anyone that we think deserves our help? Do we ever meet anyone we think kind thoughts about? Well, maybe a few close, real friends or family members, But if that's Christ's calling to us, to go out into the world and help people, I don't think so. Today in our reading from James, we're given a similar warning. To us, James says, don't just be hearers of the word, be doers of the word. Don't just hear the gospel of Christ. Don't just hear the word of God. Live the word of God. Be the word of God. Be the voice of Christ in the world. That's hard to do. It's real easy to simply spectate, to simply hear, to simply listen. It's very hard to go out and put it into practice. I know this firsthand, for failure is my middle name. But then that takes me back to the good news of the gospel reading. We are all failures without Christ. That is really freeing. To know that I don't have to be perfect, that I am not perfect, that I am forgiven, that I am equipped, that I am strengthened, that I am sent back out to do the word, to live the word of God in the world. These words have to have meaning. They have to have life. They have to be put into practice. They have to be sincere for us. I'm not sure if it's happened to you this week. It might have. On Thursday night, my phone rang. And I looked at the display on the telephone, and I had a 416 area code, which is Toronto. And I thought, oh, maybe a friend from Toronto is calling me. So I pick up the phone. And there's that long pause, and you know it's going to be a telemarketer. And so I waited and waited, and I heard the click of a tape in the background. And it said, congratulations, you've just won an all-expense paid trip to the Bahamas. Please hit 1 to claim your prize. Anybody else get a phone call? Oh, good, hey, look, I'm not the only one. Good, that's it, yeah, go ahead. Go out for it. How many of you are going to the Bahamas next week? How many of you just hung up the phone and went on your life? Why did you hang up the phone? Why?
It's a scam.
How do you know it's a scam? How do we know it's a scam? I hung up the phone. I did. Too good to be true. Wow. What if you registered, I don't know, for the $10,000 Ag Society draw? And John Everly called you and said, congratulations, you just won $10,000 in your annual draw. Would you hang up? Or would you ask to claim the prize? Now why? What's the difference? Both people on a telephone offering you something. What makes it? Trust. Trust. Who here has ever bought a Lotto 649 ticket? Have you ever met the president of Fast Watery Corporation? How do you trust it'll pay out when you win? Or are you just throwing your dollar away? Where do we find trust? In sincerity. If I really want an all-expense-paid trip to the Bahamas, I'm pretty sure that somebody from a company would actually call me and not simply press play on a tape machine. I have no trust in them. There's no sincerity there. I knew right away as soon as I got that call, there'd be 40 people here this morning that got that same phone call. You really think in the town of North Battleford that this many people won? Now times that by Saskatchewan, by Canada, etc., etc. It's a sham. There's no sincerity there. If someone I know phones me and says, you've won something at the Lions draw, at a hockey draw, at a store draw, I'll believe that. That's someone I know. I know their sincerity. They wouldn't call me to play this cruel hoax. If my 649 ticket comes up winning, I believe that I'll get my $26 million or whatever. Do you know why? Because every week in newspaper is a picture of somebody getting their check. I know that they pay out. It's sincerity. These are words with action. If someone says, you've won, you've won. They've earned your trust. They've earned your sincerity. This is in relation to God, to Christ, to James, talking about faith. They call for a sincere faith, A faith that's active in the world. A faith that changes your life and a faith that changes lives of others. And here's the good news. Both James, both Jesus tell us that we're going to fail. And we're told that's okay. You see, it would be one maniacal Lord to tell us, you need to be perfect. You need to help every widow. You need to help every orphan. You need to help every street kid, every sick person, everyone in need. And it's left us hanging. You need to be nice to everyone. You need to exude love in all you do. The end. That would be pretty maniacal. Because we'd fail. Hopefully we're aware of that. Hopefully we come here today, we confess our sins truthfully, honestly, and earnestly. We recognize that we are not perfect. That we have sinned. Things we have done and things we have failed to do. That we're in bondage to sin. But the good news for us always ends up at the cross. It starts at the cross. Yes, we are sinful. Yes, our actions won't be perfect. Our relationships won't always be perfect. Husband and wife. Children and parents. People and co-workers. Neighbors, friends, you name it. Our relationships won't be perfect. That's a fact of life. We start at the cross and recognize that. Then we go out in the world. We try to improve those relationships. We try and foster those relationships. We try and seek God's blessing upon those relationships. And then we come back to the cross and say, boy, that didn't work at all. I made things worse. I didn't make things better. I didn't help so-and-so even though I was supposed to. And we receive forgiveness. And then we come back to the cross and we're sent back out and we come back and we do it again. It's wash, rinse, and repeat. And it's good news for us. Because we keep going and going and going. And there's no shortage of forgiveness. There's no shortage of people that God puts into our life that we are called to bless. There's no shortage of love. There's no shortage of opportunity. But doubt always remains high. What will happen if I try? What will they think of me if I do this? Will they blow me off? Will they ridicule me? Will they abuse me? Will they use me? Etc. Etc. That's a fact of ministry. It's a fact of the Christian life. But we are called to be sincere in it. We are called to love with open hearts. We are called by James to be God's people in the world. To be the tree that bears fruit. That bears the holy fruit that nourishes others. To the words we say, through our actions, through our voices, through our efforts. And it's good news for us. We come here in September. We start a new church year. New season of activity. New things to do. And for us, Christ has some words. The same words He says to those Pharisees. Don't be deceived by tradition. Listen for the Word of God. Just because we've always done something one way doesn't mean that's what God's calling us to do today. Be open. Be alive. Be prayerful in our actions. That's good news for us as we move into this new time of church. What programs will God establish? What relationships will God build? What friendships will God renew? What voice will we hear? What presence will we be in the world? And I'm excited to find out. Amen.